You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 39. Tonight we have myself, John, on the podcast, and Josh, how you doing?
Hi, John. How are you, mate? Been a few weeks for me.
Aye, you know, aye. Aye, I'm all right. Yourself, all good?
Aye, all good, mate. Could be happier, actually. I've not been on for... my team went top of the league. So, happy as Larry, actually.
Okay, it's Larry. It's crazy to think, but it's for episode 39. I was convinced we must have done some fan specials before this season, but we actually haven't. So this is the first fan special of the season. So we have a returning guest who has been on a few times. It made his debut season 11, episode 69, on the end of season podcast for the Premiership, along with our now regular Charlie and also St Johnstone fan Danny. So we have Ross County fan Ross. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me back on. It's nice to hear that, I guess, we're getting counted as the first fan special of the season. I mean, start as you mean to go on, maybe, but I don't know if that puts a little bit more pressure on it being a good episode and kind of taking it from there. But no, really looking forward to it.
No, it'll be good. Like, obviously, it's been a pleasure having you on the other episodes, but I think this will be the first non-mid-season or end-of-season or start-of-season podcast we'll have had you on. I had you on aside from that.
I think we did. I think it was either before or certainly after the playoffs as well. Because I think I remember that mid recording, I don't think I'd slept the night, obviously, after the playoffs, and we were recording it on the Monday. And I think just about everyone from Dingwall was still on cloud nine after that. So, yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, Partick Thistle fan Vinny couldn't make it on tonight. I think he's still a bit hot from that end of season last year. But yeah. Obviously yourself now on the back of you kind of doing podcasts for us, you started doing your own podcast, so the County Corner.
Yes.
So tell us all about the County Corner.
So the County Corner kind of was an idea kind of inspired on the back of appearing on the first episode with you guys at that end of season review. It was kind of maybe something I was wanting to do for a wee while. I think it's tying in two strengths of mine. Waffly nonsense and probably my knowledge about Ross County. So if I can combine the two of them, then I think that would be kind of a good starting point for a lot of people. We started it around about April last year was, I think, our first podcast when we put it out. We started the page just I'd say about 6 months prior to that. And no, it's been really good. I've got to put a big thank you out to the club as well, because the people that are around there have been really great. We've had some access to, you know, some players, some staff at different levels of the club as well. I mean, the first episode we did was a 2-hour interview with Don Cowie, split into two parts. So that seems like it's really appropriate right now, obviously with Don having the interim manager role. So it kind of feels like that even kind of came full circle in just the space of just under a year. So no, it's been going really, really well. I'm really enjoying it, getting to meet lots of different people who you're obviously very passionate about their own clubs as well, kind of interacting on, you know, either forum episodes such as we've done with the season previews, mid-season, end of season, or, you know, appearing on other ones like give the guys at Top Clivia a shout out, you know, Ewan and Angus there, and even the just a few other podcasts as well that we've been doing. So yeah.
I know, it's good. I mean, we all know the podcast community in Scotland is very good at helping each other out. So, obviously, we're doing a fan special for Ross County. I'm interested to know, first of all, because it's not something we've actually like, kind of spoken about before. How did you kind of come about supporting Ross County? Is it a family thing? Or did you choose it yourself, the team?
So, it was certainly a family thing. I think up here in the Highlands, I don't know if it's certainly known about here, especially in Inverness, but the merger, it'll be 30 years ago, between Inverness Caledonia and Inverness Thistle at the time, certainly caused a lot of upset amongst kind of locals around here. There have been a few kind of like specials on it, kind of explained to people and whatnot. And there's certainly some ill feeling towards how that whole situation was handled. My dad at the time before the merger was an Inverness Thistle fan, and I think a lot of Inverness Thistle fans feel like they were kind of handed the wrong side of the stick, put it that way. They were certainly treated poorly out of the two clubs coming together, and I think a lot of Inverness Thistle fans on the back of that have either gone, to support either Clackmacadden or to support Ross County. It's probably the two kind of closest local teams, either in the Highland League or Ross County, obviously coming into the Scottish Leagues at the same time that Cali Thistle were merged together. So that's how my dad started going to Ross County matches. It's all I've ever known, because the merger was in would have been in 1994. So I was born in 1997. So I've only ever experienced Ross County. So that's how it kind of started from there. And yeah, it's all I've kind of ever known. I think everyone kind of growing up in school and things like that had a big team every now and then. Someone that was supporting in the Premier League and whatnot. But certainly I would say for the majority of my time, it has. My sole focus has really been Ross County. It's all your kind of weekend is taken up. I think everyone kind of realizes the amount of time and love they have for each of their own clubs, and it's certainly the same for me in County.
Would that be in terms of like good amount of friends as well from your school supported Ross County as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think certainly, going through secondary school, there was a lot of people, at school that would go to watch County throughout the years. I think, thinking throughout my secondary school years, it was the first year there was the Scottish Cup final run in 2009, 2010,
Yeah.
which, certainly kind of got a lot of, I would say, younger fans around about my age at that point to kind of fall in love with the club as well, at that age. A couple of seasons later, then we obviously got promoted to the SPL, as it was at the time, for the first time in the club's history. And since then, it's really taken off. I think as people have kind of gotten older, I think, I don't think it's because of the tough times they sometimes go through the years, but certainly the attraction of the bigger clubs like, say, your Celtics, your Rangers, these kind of clubs, and the local supporters clubs in the area can kind of start to pull some of those fans away that maybe don't quite have the same connection as others do with the kind of the local clubs. So there was certainly a quite a large group of us during school that supported County, but I think quite a few have kind of maybe moved on and still have a soft spot for the club, but I would say certainly they're more likely to travel to Celtic Park or Ibrox on a match day.
I mean, I suppose as well nowadays, like, people want to support the big team in Ireland, won't they?
I think it's a weird one as well, because I don't think, even for like an older generation, thinking of County being that Highland League team, over 30 years ago, obviously there was no pyramid system in place, so no one kind of expected, there was no expectation for clubs to go from the Highland League to the Premiership in that space of time. We've done it. Our neighbours across the bridge have also done it as well, and the success that both sides have had since that. So, I think it has been a really good period. But thinking of the older generation fans, I think they always kind of felt like Ross County was their team, but they always had that big team like a Celtic or a Rangers, because they never expected, their local side to come up against them. Whereas now, for kind of like my generation and whatnot, even the generations younger than me, that's all they've seen. Some people have only experienced, Ross County in the top flight. I think we've only ex had one season in the Championship out of the last, I think it's 11 or 12 seasons. We bounced back up the first time of asking as well. So, certainly, I think it's it feels like the golden years as a Ross County fan right now, and it's just trying to enjoy them.
See on the subject, on you. Oh, sorry, you're going to ask something, Josh? Yeah.
I was just going to ask. One thing I'm quite interested about Ross is the idea of, you kind of touched on a wee bit, but is the idea of geography in football teams. It's easy for us, central belters, if you want to use that term, to put people, Motherwell fans come from Motherwell, and Rangers fans come from everywhere, right? And Aberdeen fans come from Aberdeen, and St Johnstone fans come from Perth. The thing about Dingwall that's always interested me is because Dingwall's a tiny wee town, and its fans come from everywhere. And you've said there that, Obviously, a lot of people that that weren't happy with the merger, went on to support Ross County, and that's how that kind of happened. But so I suppose the way I think about Dingwall is you get to Dingwall, and then there's several hundred miles of Scotland still to go, because I mean they are the most northerly league team that we have in Scotland. So where are the Ross County fans? Where do they come from? Are they all over the Highlands? Are they mainly focused in Inverness? Where do they, where are the Ross County fans?
I think it's certainly kind of all over the north of Scotland, I would say. I think, as you mentioned there, with being the most northerly kind of SPFL league team, I think it has definitely had a pull from, a lot of different areas. There's people that travel to match days from likes of Stornoway, some of the islands around and about. There's people obviously from north of Dingle as well, so many places up there, Alness, Invergordon. Even looking south of Dingwall, as you mentioned, Inverness, there is pockets of Inverness fans that are certainly living in sorry, Ross County fans that are living in Inverness. And even kind of like coming through primary school, I went to primary school in Inverness, went to secondary school in Dingwall, and you look around now, you can walk around the town or different places, and it's actually really surprising the amount of Ross County shirts you see now compared to what there was when I was kind of coming through school. I think it was always, people supporting either the big two teams or, the Inverness fans. It certainly felt like if you were a Ross County fan going to school in Inverness, you were a very, very small minority. There was maybe only three, four, five of you at different ages, throughout the whole primary school, whereas now, I think it's certainly the success over the last few years has certainly helped, gain a lot of new fans. Maybe, some people that with the work that the club do in the community with like the local kind of soccer schools and stuff like that they do. Obviously, the kids kind of get really involved in it. Based on that, they might then get tickets through the club, and then the parents then get taken along as well because obviously the kids are wanting to go to the football, and it kind of builds that connection there. So. It's certainly something that's grown, I would say, since certainly since I've been a county fan. You can see the pockets of success grow, and when there's success on the pitch, it can help. But obviously the programs and stuff off the pitch all over the north of Scotland. I mean, I've just mentioned Inverness there, but the Ross County Foundation and stuff like that, they're going all over the north of Scotland and the islands as well to put on training camps and stuff like that, and as well, which is obviously reaping rewards.
See on the back of that, then the kind of community aspect of the club. What's the kind of community feel about Ross County? Like, how does it kind of sit in the community?
I think it's certainly always been a club that kind of has had the community at heart. That has, I think it's one of these ones where when you're not kind of battling at the big leagues, I think it's a lot easier to kind of focus on that. There was maybe a wee kind of period of time where the kind of community aspect was kind of maybe there wasn't the same amount of focus as there had been on it in previous years. But certainly, I would say over the last couple of years, and especially very recently, there has been a kind of a real kind of adjustment to focus on that again because, that's where the club had come from. That's the club's roots, celebrating the success of the Highland League days, the teams around us, the community factors, so many of these things, the pillars that built Ross County up to what they are today. And I mentioned the Ross County Foundation there, some of the community work that they've been doing, like the soccer schools, or they've been doing a community kitchen recently as well for some of the elderly that'll come in on a lunchtime. The stadium, the supporters bars are empty 13 out of 14 days. It's only ever kind of really in use on a match day, so they're trying to use it more often to attract, different groups of people, different ages, to try and support them, put on different classes. There's definitely a lot of plans, I think, in the coming few months that they're trying to, make the most of the space that they've got and the impact that they can have on the community, because we've seen it through previous years and how successful it's been, and it's continuing that success and trying to be, driving that while we're kind of still at the top end of Scottish football.
Yeah. See, you're talking about the kind of new generation of fans, so obviously it's maybe kind of easier to like support kind of Ross County, but you've been obviously born after the team ended up being professional. See, in terms of your traditional kind of Ross County fans, like when they were in the Highland League, was there a lot of those fans that kind of stopped going because they stopped being a Highland League team? Like they actually saw the professional aspect of it as being like almost not gone, but not for them.
I think there was certainly a fear that that might be the case. I don't personally know of anyone that might have been turned away because of that. I'll mention Stephen, who appears on our podcast quite frequently, and he's kind of spoken about, he wasn't fully in favor of like the obviously going into the professional leagues because of, the. There was a lot of different factors, obviously, when you look at the travel now. Obviously, if you were just going between, your local Highland areas compared to, for example, going from Dingwall to Stranraer, which, I've already had to do this season, which isn't fun when you're already a kind of a Scottish top flight team. Never mind if you're just coming into the leagues and trying to get used to those kind of factors, all the costs that can be incurred, and all the different factors that can be. That can come into such a big move for the club like that. But I think it was one where they kind of realized that it was potentially once in a lifetime opportunity for the club to do this, obviously before any pyramid structures were in place for, as it is now, to kind of get voted in and whatnot. And, coming up to 30 years since the first season in the Scottish Football Leagues, it'll be at the start of next season, that'll be. There's a couple of big moments throughout that last season in the Highland League where there was a couple of really big wins against St Cuthbert Wanderers and then Forfar Athletic in the Scottish Cup, which kind of I think helped sway a lot of the votes Ross County's way. There was definitely, I wouldn't say some hesitation, but it was definitely looked at that there was maybe one or two teams that were certainly favoured ahead of County to get the vote into the leagues. But those two wins there, especially that Forfar one, I think is really. The biggest impact of the lot, which I think the kind of the Forfar board or the kind of the people behind the scenes there actually spoke to people at County and said, they were actually going to vote for them 3 days later in that vote because, how could they not based on that kind of performance there when you go away from home and as a Highland League team and win 4-0, so no, I think it's a move that has been accepted by the vast majority of Ross County fans. It's not there's not been anyone that I've kind of bumped into and felt like they've kind of turned away since that and yeah.
I know that's a positive because, like, if we think about it from like the West of Scotland point of view and the pyramid getting introduced, I hear it from some fans around whereby they would rather be that big fish in the bubble that they're in as opposed to the potential of. Josh, if you think about it, right, say Irvine Meadow, it's not a good example at the moment because we're like getting relegated, but the ambition at Irvine Meadow, would you say there's an ambition to get to where in the leagues? Where do you think would be a realistic fit?
There's an ambition not to get relegated, that ambition is probably for the birds because we are going to get relegated. But I know what you're saying, right? It's difficult for them, right? Do you know, actually, right? Look, I think Pollock's probably a better example, John. A small club with ambition, and the, one of the things is with many clubs at that level is that they're hamstrung by, I think they're hamstrung by the difficulties in getting into the Lowland League and then getting up. In a way, I think is it a wee bit easier to get through the Highland League and then get up? I mean, potentially because you have so many clubs at that level who I think you have in the Central Belt particularly, I think you have a lot of clubs that are really ambitious about getting up and getting into the professional leagues, whereas in the Highland League I maybe don't think that's quite as many. However, you then have the issue of the kind of geographical issues of the Highlands in that they're relying on a lot of players who will be kind of guys that are commutable to those football teams. Whereas, you know, in the lone league in the kind of central belt, you can rely on players for anywhere really that are in the central belt. And that's why I'm always interested in the kind of geography and the population aspect of the Highland teams, how they draw their support and how their role within the, you know, what their role within the community is, and we'll come on to the Highland Derby in a wee bit because I've got a few questions about that for Ross. But I mean, you're getting relegated, mate, so.
Yeah, but that is interesting. Would you say, like, in terms of, like, it's maybe viewed upon that some of the Highland teams aren't ambitious? I think the example a few seasons ago was with the Brother Rangers, and it seemed as if they weren't that keen to get promoted.
I think,
Part
yeah.
of it must be you're losing all these local derby matches, like, and you've got potential. It's a lot of money to kind of try and climb up the leagues, and then where is your ceiling? Because there will be a ceiling for all these clubs. Now, not everyone's going to be as fortunate as Ross County to get to the top flight and give them their due to stay in the top flight so long.
I think, John, I think, yeah, I mean, just expand on that. I think that probably is, there probably is an element of that, right? I mean, Ross County, you know, have got a bit of money, well, compared, relatively speaking, compared to other clubs, have got a bit of money, and they are relatively near to a large population centre. Whereas I think when you're giving the example of Brora Rangers, Brora are still, you know, Brora are quite remote, and it is like what, you know, what I'm saying about who they're relying on. Don't get me wrong, I think if they did manage to make their way up the through the leagues, I think, you know, they would find players willing to play for them and willing to travel up, you know, and live up near Brora. But yeah, I do think about other teams. I mean, if we're talking about Highland League, you know, Buckie Thistle, you know, what are they doing still in the Highland League after all these years? You know, so that I think there is ambition at that level, but the challenges that they face, I think, are very different to comparable sized clubs in the Lowland League.
Yeah. What would you say was the ambition like from some of the Highland League teams? Would you say there was some that wanted to replicate maybe a potential that Ross County have done? Do you think it's possible?
I think I would like to say yes, because the, you know, that's the perfect example of what can be done. But obviously, putting it into practice nowadays is a lot tougher. As Josh has mentioned there, you look at the difference between, you know, similar sized clubs in the Highland League compared to the Lowland League, and, you know, the geographical implications of it. You know, the money that's involved there, and, you know, you'll have a handful of ambitious Highland League teams, which, you know, they will be very competitive. You know, they'll comfortably beat the majority of the teams in the league, and then, you know, it will be very, very competitive against the other ambitious teams in that league. However, then going into the kind of the pyramid playoff against the Lowland League winner, that's a different kind of kettle of fish, because if you're thinking that you're kind of ambitious and spending big in the Highland League, you know, it could be a totally different challenge coming up against the winner of the Lowland League. I mean, you look at like East Kilbride and how they're kind of almost looks like they're kind of walking the Lowland League at the minute, you know, whereas you kind of look at how competitive the Highland League has been between two or three teams over the last kind of few seasons. They kind of push each other all the way, and it's, if they had the same, you know, benefits of, you know, a Lowland League team such as like an East Kilbride, where they can kind of, you know, use that money and kind of almost, I don't want to say walk the league, but, you know, kind of run away with it in a sense, that they can then look to that. It's almost, is it a bit of a hindrance that there are so many teams scrapping for the kind of the same status, if that makes sense, the kind of the same target, that it almost becomes a mental drain that you kind of get over the line. You know, you've won the Highland League, but then you kind of still need to keep going. You know, you come up against that Lowland League team, where, you know, I think we've seen over the last few seasons, I think the Lowland League team have kind of run out the winners. So
Yeah, and I mean, you've spoken as yourself about how difficult it is for Ross County to attract players. So, like, if that's the case for Ross County, who are in the top flight, how difficult it's going to be for a Highland League team that's maybe potentially wanting to get a move up the grade.
absolutely.
Right, okay, like, So going back to supporting Ross County and starting off, do you remember your first match?
It's a good
Season.
question, actually. I don't really remember my first official county match. I can't remember what the score line was, but I do remember that I kind of got to go and meet some of the players afterwards. That my dad obviously kind of took me through, and he had obviously mentioned to a couple of people at the club, you know, he's taking his son along for the first time and whatnot. And I can't remember what the score was at that point. I do remember that it was in that kind of period where John Robertson was manager, and after the game, we managed to get a couple of like the players like signed shirts to kind of take home and whatnot. And I remember obviously being, I would have been I think about 7 or 8 at that point from like my earliest memories and kind of taking home these like large and extra large, you know, football shirts and thinking, oh my God, how the hell am I going to try and fit into one of these like one day and things like that. And I've still got the shirts now as well, which, you know, just that kind of helps create the bond that you've kind of seen these guys in a pitch and you can kind of walk in. And even at that level, when you're kind of like first division players, and it might not seem all that glorious to a lot of people out there, when you're kind of that age and you see these kind of footballers of the club you've just come to see and start to support, you know, you're kind of in awe of them. So that's kind of how it felt. So it's always nice to kind of look back at that thinking that's where I really kind of remember the journey going. I don't think that was my like actual first Ross County game going to, but certainly the first kind of memories that I have of one.
Yeah. Who would your favourite players have been when you kind of first started going to see Ross County then?
I think the first ones that jump out, I have to say this one because if my dad listens to it and he won't be very happy if I don't, is like Stephen McGarry, these kind of guys. I think, you know, looking at the seasons that kind of came afterwards, you know, Michael Gardine for what the service that he had at the club and whatnot, and you know, as the club's all-time leading goal scorer and things like that, to kind of watch his journey right the way through the years has been really interesting. Obviously Don Cowie as well. Don's a perfect example of what a Ross County player or someone from the local area can go and do in their career, both with the club and elsewhere as well, because you know, watching him come through at Ross County at first, I don't think, you know, and I don't think many would have expected him to go on to have the career he had, but you know, it just shows what kind of like hard work can do, you know, go on and picking up Scotland caps, playing in the English Premier League, and to come back and, you know, obviously get the interim manager role in the last few weeks and stuff like that. It feels like a real full circle moment. So they're certainly kind of three that stand out as, you know, the big ones probably in my early years.
On the subject of Don Kelly, Scott from the podcast has asked how happy are people to have Kelly in charge at the moment? Like, what would you say the general feeling around the club?
Very happy. I think very, very happy. I think it was one of these ones because of the affiliation that Don has had with the club over these years. I think everyone wanted to see this to him to get the opportunity at some point. Obviously, it's a tough situation that he's had to come into. But you know, in terms of the love and the support that Don has from the fans, I don't think they could probably pick a more popular figure. I think, you know, obviously the stuff that's happened with Derek Adams has been, you know, well documented, and the fallout from it. And it was a weird one because when Derek came back, it felt quite similar. It felt like, oh, you look back and the success that Derek had at the club in his two previous spells as manager, and you think, okay, this, you know, where Roy's been ambitious, he's tried to bring Derek back to try and, you know, maybe kind of kick on with his success. And Derek always said that he had unfinished business. I don't think anyone expected it to go the way it did and as quickly as it did as well, which I think then also, you know, the ill feeling maybe and how quickly it turned like that towards Derek from some fans, I think then almost in turn kind of increased their love for Don and their support for Don in this kind of role. Because you know, as I said, it's a tough situation for him to come into, but you know, we've already seen a big lift out of the players. I think, you know, he's had three tough games. He's obviously picked up his first win on Saturday, which was a big one. But you know, even the two games against Rangers and Dundee, you know, there was an immediate lift from the players around him. I think the players really respect him as well. I think that's the good thing. He knows them well. He knows the characteristics amongst them, their strengths, their weaknesses. And yeah, I think it's one that we want to see successful, not just because of, you know, it's our football club. We want to stay in the league and things like that, but we also want to see it for Don because, you know, just like his playing career, Don will probably go on to have a very successful managerial career as well. And we kind of want to see it, you know, the base formed at Ross County.
Aye. What's the big changes you've seen so far in terms of like line wise or personnel? What would you say Kelly's brought to the line side of things?
Morale and togetherness, I think, is the first two immediately that jump out. It's not so much obviously like a tactical switch, but you know, I look back to Derek's last two games in charge, you know, that 1-0 game against St Johnstone, and it just seemed there was some things that were disjointed there, but you know, that became so apparent for everyone to see then in his last game of the 5-0 loss at Fir Park, you know, how easily we were getting carved open there. You know, that was on the back of a three-match run where we were playing Livingston, St Johnstone and Motherwell, the three teams that were closest around us at that point. And we were kind of looking at that thinking, okay, this is a real opportunity to pick up some points and try and, you know, drag ourselves out of this mess. But you know, we only came away with 1 point out of a possible nine. And even that 1 point felt a bit lucky because Livingston should have beaten us that night at Almond Vale quite comfortably. And there was kind of already kind of alarm showing there. And there was some rumored you know, unrest behind the scenes. And obviously with Derek's comments in the media as well, was probably fueling that too. And I think there was a case where there's no smoke without fire. So I think the first thing that Don had to do was, you know, just try and get everyone back on side. You know, they're all in this battle together. I think there was maybe some camps that were starting to become a little bit, the dressing was starting to get a wee bit split maybe with the players that Derek had brought in because of those comments previously that, you know, the group of players that he currently had, you know, the Morecambe team were 100 times better than him. So, you know, are they then looking at these players that were coming in thinking, well, he obviously rates them a lot higher than us and whatnot? It was just all turning a wee bit ill. So, you know, the first thing Don did was get everyone together, tell them, you know, they're all in the same boat. And he said that in the media that they're all in this together. Everyone's got a part to play in this. And you look at his kind of post-match comments and even his, you know, midweek press conferences and stuff like that. He has been, you know, very insistent on this is going to be a battle. Everyone plays their part in this. There's no splits. Every single player is going to have their part to play. And there was certainly a feeling that maybe Derek was not trusting several players. I think, you know, Eamon Brophy's the perfect example of that, looking just back to the weekend where he's grabbed two goals and Eamon was fit since the start of December and he didn't start a game, and Derek was using him very sparingly. So yeah, I think we certainly look a bit more fluid kind of going from back to front, trying to play through the lines as well, which has been quite pleasing to see. I think we've definitely showed the initial aspects of that. Maybe not so much at Ibrox because obviously you're spending so much time without the ball, you know, you're not going to quite see what you've kind of worked on, you know, kind of going forward. But against Dundee, we looked quite dangerous. That was quite a tight game. But then on Saturday against Livingston, that first half was the most impressive I've seen a county side probably in quite a while, just how dominant they were. He changed to a really narrow front three, which kind of think caught Livingston by surprise. But you could see that they worked on that shape the entire week because when one striker was coming short, the other two were going long. They were filling spaces for each other and kind of causing, you know, different problems for that Livy back line. I think the second goal kind of showed how well it worked when ball's played at Jordan White, he's laid it off to Simon Murray, and then he's pinged it out to Brophy on the right hand side, and he's found the top corner. It's a great finish, but the general build up play just shows that the players are putting into practice what they're working on during the week, which is another positive. I think at times under Derek, it maybe felt like a little bit disjointed as well. You weren't really kind of sure what they were trying to do. It was almost like they were just kind of told to go out there and, you know, try and impact the game, whereas you can actually see the patterns of play maybe starting to form as well.
Just on that, Ross. I mean, look, I'm mindful that we don't want to turn this into an hour on Derek Adams. But you know, I mean, we can't get away for the elephant in the room, obviously. It was definitely box office. those, how many days was it? 59 or 65 or something like that?
79 days, yeah.
Se 79. Just how quickly do you think he lost the dressing room? Because for me as an outsider, it looked like it happened pretty quickly.
I would say certainly after the comments about Scottish football and the kind of the Morecambe comment and
So
whatnot, I think.
do you think that, I mean, that's specifically right, because that's an all-timer, right? I
Yeah.
mean, that's for me, that interview is right up there with Lennon's Dubai presser, right? For me, it's an all-timer press conference,
It's the
right? That
whole quotation marks
the
and stuff like
quotation mark,
that,
right?
yeah.
For me, I'll never ever forget that, right? But the Adams thing, it completely overtook all of the discourse in the Scottish sports press and the Scottish football press, and it was all anybody was talking about. And for me, I think I agree with you. I think probably he did lose. Obviously, wasn't his intention to lose the players. What do you think he was trying to do? Because look, Derek Adams is the stupid, right? He knows that Morecambe are 100 times better than Ross County, so. What was he trying to achieve with that comment? And obviously, it horrendously backfired for him. The whole kind of attitude generally backfired for him. But I mean, just on that, what was he trying to achieve? And more on the kind of dressing room, how quickly he thought he lost the dressing room.
I wish I could give you an honest answer, but honestly, I don't know. You mentioned it kind of taking, all the headlines in Scottish football, and it did. Like, that was the remarkable thing. That was the same weekend that Hearts went to Celtic Park and won 2-0, and the same weekend there was a National Cup final on as well, and it felt like all the eyes then were on Derek Adams and Ross County on the back of that, and it was incredible. I was there for the post-match press conference, and he went in to do the BBC interview first, and everything seemed quite calm. Obviously, it was disappointing to lose the last minute goal, but it was one of those ones where it was a scrappy game. Either side probably could have won it, and either team would have had arguments to do so. But when he kind of sat down and was asked the opening question, it started very calmly, but then it was almost like he hit like the red nuclear button. And then just kind of just exploded in front of the written press, and we included the audio on our podcast, and it was so unexpected. But when you kind of started to break it down, it almost felt like it was a bit premeditated. And I'm of the opinion, I think there was certainly maybe elements of it that were a bit emotional on the back of losing such a late goal. But I think he would have come out and made the same comments had they drawn that game 0-0. Now, the whole timing of it was bizarre as well, because that would have been that was his fifth match in charge, and in his first three matches he won two and drew one, so 7 points out of a possible nine, three clean sheets back to back. Like, you look at that and think, okay, that's pretty good going. Lose 2-0 away at St Mirren, that can happen to most teams in this league, just with how difficult it is to go to Paisley. So for him to come out and make those comments after the Dundee game, it was bizarre, because it wasn't like he wasn't getting a reaction out of the players when he first came in. It just felt like he'd been building up layers, and okay, the couple of losses maybe kind of, weren't what he expected, but it felt like he'd just taken a sledgehammer to the foundations that he'd kind of created in those first couple of weeks, and as a player, if you're hearing that, your manager's come out and publicly said that, I mean, there's rumors of what was kind of said behind the scenes after the game in the dressing room and whatnot, but all we can speak about really is what was said in the media, and it was such a shock. And you look back in that, and it united Scottish football in a way, and it was a really interesting one, even reading it amongst some of the county fans, because there wasn't that many county fans that were actually outraged at that time with his comments. I think we all know what Derek's like as a character. He's very honest. He will not hold back, and it's his opinion. So, he's entitled to give that. And it felt like, well, that's the kind of the old Derek, but multiplied by 10. I don't think anyone expected it kind of this early. But the one that I think probably lost a lot of fan support as well was the one he did after the Park Thistle Scottish Cup game, where,
Aye, this was the one
yeah.
where he said he hadn't done the basically hadn't done his homework about coming back and all that.
Yeah, like he never outright admitted it, but he also didn't shut down the fact, was he kind of regretting the move? You know, had he done more kind of homework behind the scenes, would he have had second thoughts and whatnot? And when you're a supporter here and your manager make comments like that, you know, it's almost impossible to support, you know, especially on the back of what we had just seen that day as well. And I think it's, you know, when you're already in a bit of a relegation battle, you've survived the previous season by the skin of your teeth, and you're coming up against the same side. You've just beaten in that playoff, and they've beaten you 3-0 on your home ground, you know, and then your manager comes out and makes comments like that. Like, that's when the tension kind of really, I think, started to really build amongst the fans. But, you know, I think when you look back, certainly the damage was definitely done after the Dundee game. And in fairness, you know, the very next game when they went to Tynecastle, they got a 2-2 draw. But I think that was based on the players proving a point to him and almost playing for themselves. Like, okay, you think this, well, I'm gonna prove you wrong, you know? And kind of almost not expected a bit of praise for it, but you know, you would like to think your manager would kind of come out and you know, and back the players on that. But you know, after each defeat, it was almost like Derek kind of didn't want to have any kind of take any responsibility for any of the defeats. You know, it was comments such as, you know, a manager is only as good as his players out in the park and things like that. So even if it was not so much, you know, individual mistakes, for example, but if it was actually like tactical issues or, you know, maybe things that could have been changed, it was still, you know, he was not having anything to do with it. It was fully on the players. And they can only take that for so long, you know. You can only take that in any workspace. If you're having your manager telling you know, oh well, the place that I worked before was 100 times better than this, or the people I had working for me were 100 times better than you and whatnot, and you know, openly ridiculing you know, Derek did that to the players in front of the national media. Never mind, you know, in a workplace, you know, you might get, if that happened to you in a, like a team meeting, you'd already be feeling so low. And you know, it just, yeah, it was remarkable how well it started, but then how quickly it unraveled, I think, was the real shock of the kind of Adam's third reign.
So very, very much a kind of Liz Truss and Prime Minister kind of version of Scottish football, pretty
That's
much.
actually, that's the first time I've heard that comparison. That's probably quite a good one, yeah.
I don't want to, like, I don't want to linger on Derek, but obviously it has been such a kind of defining part of Ross County's season so far. In my view, I think he's. Like he'll no manage in Scotland again now. What does the future hold for him? I mean, you know, you as a Ross County fan know him better than a lot.
Yeah, and
Is he back to England, back to the Morecambe Superstars or?
I think it'll be a really interesting one for his next move. It's, you know, Ross County fans from Derek's two previous spells in charge, I mean, we were all, well, I say all, I think the vast majority were excited for him to come back. I mean, we did a poll on our podcast in the back of his appointment, and we had like 95% of the voters were happy that with his appointment. You know, you're never going to get 100% on something like this, but you know, the fact that 95%, you know, if you were to take that as maybe a base number, that we're happy that he returned, it was great. You look at the achievements they had as a, you know, when we were a first division club, you know, getting promotion from the second division at that time to, you know, the run to the Scottish Cup final, 40 league matches unbeaten for a Ross County side. Like, that's a mental statistic and a mental achievement, you know, when you look at things nowadays. Promotion to the top flight, top six in his first season. You know, like when you look at them and you think, wow, he's done it. And even like the achievements he had down in England with, you know, promotions with Plymouth and Morecambe as well and whatnot. And, you know, it wasn't like a case of he'd been out of work for that long and it was kind of getting plucked out of the wilderness. He'd been kind of doing well down in England in recent seasons. So could kind of understand the appointment, but you know, it's such a shame how it's worked out and how quickly it unraveled. You know, in terms of his future, I don't know. I'm kind of the same as you, Josh. I really struggle to see how, you know, any time in the near future would he kind of get a job in Scottish football just based on, you know, kind of what's gone on. Obviously, he's had success down in England. I think that there could be potentially opportunities for him, to go back down there to a League Two or a League Two club, for example. If push came to shove, just because of the promotions that he's had there, if someone was to look at his record. But yeah, just okay. As I said, it was one that so many people were excited for right at the start in his appointment, but then just totally caught by just so much shock at how quickly it went so badly wrong.
So we bring it back to some good times and better times.
Ah, yeah. I think that's enough doer for just now, isn't it?
Aye, right, okay. Well, we could bring it back to his first spell in terms of like getting to the cup final, and what was the kind of feeling around that time in terms of like Ross County in the Scottish Cup final, and the fact that neither of the big two were in the final, even maybe not the big four or five were in the cup final. Was it a feeling that going at that Ross County had a chance, or was it? Did you when you'd aye when you'd done well, the run-in was good. Final.
Certainly it's so being the age I kind of was, I would have been 12 or 12, 13 at that point, kind of through that Scottish Cup run. And you maybe don't kind of realize what exactly is going on in that moment. Like when you look back and you think, wow, the achievements that, that side kind of went through as a lower league side to beat Hibs in the quarterfinal, to beat Celtic in the semi-final, and then to, I think there was an optimism. I wouldn't say a confidence, but optimism that, they could maybe just go one step further and beat Dundee United. But when you look back, that was a good Dundee United side at the same time as well. Like that, under kind of Levine and then Houston at that point, they had good players that then went on to have good careers. So, I don't think there was any kind of disgrace in, losing it. The cup run, it's one that I look back on with real fondness, because at that time, I was actually a ball boy at the club as well. So that quarterfinal replay in Dingwall against Hibs, it was absolutely crazy. I mean, you look at some of the photos now and how the stadium has changed over the years. Like the J Lend is fully seated. It's a fully seated stadium now, but when the J Lend used to be terraced, and the old away terrace didn't even have a roof on it or anything like that, and just the place was sold out. Like it was just it was brilliant. And we should have beaten Hibs at Easter Road in the initial game. They kind of got away with one, even taking it to a replay. And the players that we've spoken to on the back of that, like we've done a couple of interviews with likes of Stephen Craig and Paul Lawson on the podcast, and they all said the same. They said the players felt it behind the scenes as well. They said they should have won that, but that night was unbelievable. And I kind of I was over on the far side opposite the main stand, and kind of running back across the pitch at full time. I then suddenly see all this pitch invasion as we realise we kind of got to the semi-final. We're going to Hampden. It's the first experience of anything like that as a ball boy. You're kind of seeing all these people run onto the pitch and like, what the hell's going on? So you could see how much like it meant to like so many people. And Scott Boyd has written himself into Ross County folklore just that night. The guy's nicknamed the Ginger Pelly for so many reasons. But you're looking at kind of one of his crowning moments, and it was that. And then the trip to Hampden, to play Celtic in the semi-final was just, I look back at it and it's unbelievable even still watching it. It's so strange to look at that Celtic team, and okay, they were in a bad space at that moment in time. But even like the individual quality, like having like guys like Robbie Keane up front and stuff like that, like they're playing up against first division players in likes of it was Scott Boyd and Alex Keddie that day, that were the two centre halves, and they got the better of Keane. The entire county team bossed it that day. And I remember where we were. We were kind of in line with the 6 yard box in that corner, and I remember the Stephen Craig Maisie run to open the scoring, and then Jimmy Scott's second to kind of seal it. And it's on cloud nine. That wasn't supposed to happen. You don't get little Ross County that go to Hampden and beat Celtic. That's that. You look back at the fans that were there in the Highland League days. If you told them that, in the space of less than 20 years at that point, you'd be seeing your team go and beat Celtic at the National Stadium, they wouldn't have believed you. And we mentioned about the the templates for Highland League clubs to do. Again, it's an example of what can be done. So.
Am I right in saying that Scottish Cup team, that Scottish Cup team was entirely Scottish players? Is that right?
The only, so I'm just thinking about the only one that wouldn't have been would have been Michael McGovern, who was the
Oh yeah,
goalkeeper at that
okay.
time. So he'd have been well, he's not Northern Irish, but the rest of them, from just thinking off the top of my head, I'm fairly sure the rest of them were all Scottish-based players.
And that's pretty impressive. I mean, even in 2010, I know it's definitely not the same at Ross County now, but even at that, it's pretty impressive. I mean, there was a lot of great characters in that Ross County team. I think about like guys like Richard Britton. Ian Vigers was floating about then, wasn't he? Midge Gardine. Ross County legend. It was an exceptional team.
Agreed.
And yeah, I mean, to get to the Scottish Cup final, with that team is just really is an astounding achievement. It just shows you the I mean, it just that period. I think there was a period between maybe about, I want to say kind of late. I want to say kind of 2008 or 9 time, probably until Rangers came back into the top flight, where you had several teams, like St Mirren, Ross County, St Johnstone, Inverness County, a lot of teams like this achieving huge achievements that had never been done by their clubs in the past. And Ross County obviously went on to win the League Cup. It was the League Cup, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, would you say that's probably the best period that you've had, that kind of period of time that you've had in your time supporting County?
Yeah, I would say so. I think, looking back on it, you mentioned there that, that kind of time period there. That team that had that Scottish Cup run, you look at that, and the vast majority of the spine of that team then went on to get promotion a couple of seasons later. Was then the same spine of the team that then went on to get top six in the top flight as well. So they didn't just grow as individuals, they grew as a group. They all kind of developed at the same time, and obviously kind of the on the back of that, success then attracts eyes of bigger teams. I think of that that season we won the first division. Midge signed a contract with Dundee United, and in that summer he went there off the back of then the top six season as well. We then lost Ian Vigers and Paul Lawson to Motherwell. They went there. So, gradually these guys go on to have good moves to good clubs. Some came back, some had their own kind of career paths. But that spine, that period of time was just, you look back on it and you kind of think, why? It's one of these ones where you don't realize how good it is until it's passed, if that makes sense. And just seeing that the journey that the club went on, that team went on, all the success it had, was just phenomenal.
Because on the back of it as well, you would have been a good age as well for when the League Cup final was won,
I
in
was.
terms of enjoying it properly.
Yeah, exactly. So I would have been, so that was 2015. So I would have been 18 at that point. No, 2016, sorry. So 19. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I think, the journey to that as well was just unbelievable as well. Again, beating Celtic in a National Cup semi-final, and the way we did it as well after going 1-0 down, and it was something like the first 15 or 20 seconds, and you're thinking, okay, we're in for a long day here. But that run, I think, if VAR was a thing back then, I think we would have had our second goal disallowed, as Alex Schalk is having a bit of a wrestling match with Craig Gordon right in the goal mouth for the kind of the lead up to the goal. It's brilliant watching it back. But yeah, the The cup final was again just unbelievable, and I think it was a weird one because again there wasn't so much like a confidence that we would kind of go on to win it. Again, it was maybe more of an optimism, and that was at a time where Hibs were a division below us at the time. That's when they were going through the championship, but again they had a good team, like good players at that moment in time. But we did as well, and I think it was being a top flight team, there was never the full, like we're gonna go win this cup. The expectation, it was the optimism. But guys like, again, I've mentioned Mitch already plenty of times. The fact that a guy that is, so etched in Ross County history was the one that kind of went to open the scoring. But Alex Shalt kind of as that's such a iconic moment as a Ross County fan for him to go and score like a last minute winner in a cup final. I mean, you can't ask for a bigger moment than that. And, guys that were in that team, like some Jackson Irvine as well, Jackson was phenomenal that day. I mean, the fact that he kind of had John McGinn in his back pocket, and we all know how good a player John McGinn has gone on to be, as his career's gone on. But, just the entire side that day was just, again, something I'll never forget. It's not supposed to happen to teams like County. As Josh said, so many teams, similar clubs had such success over that period as well, and it was fantastic. It was brilliant, and that was at a point as well where the Scottish Cup was held across the bridge in Inverness, and then we had the League Cup, and that, so both domestic cups were based in the Highlands. That's just unbelievable as well. It's crazy to think of it now as well. Like, even though it was only, less than 10 years ago, but just, it's again, it's like just pinch me moments.
What's your memories of the celebrations then? Do you have many memories of that stand out?
Just the kind of, I remember in the game at the moment, shout my head off at Midge to drive down that left wing when he had the ball, cross it in. And it was one of those ones where it was almost like the cross was a bit overhit, and then remembering that Liam Fontaine, who obviously ended up in Dingwall a couple of seasons later, kind of put it on a plate for Alex. But then just like the utter bedlam at that, and the celebrations in the stands, just what it meant for the club. The celebrations driving back up the roads with the family that I was there with, our friends as well that we've been going to the football with for years. It was the same kind of group of us that had gone to likes of the Scottish Cup final just years, years prior, and be going with them kind of week in, week out. To all of us kind of experience that together was really nice. The club did have a kind of open top bus parade the week after. It was maybe. Don't want to give them any credit for it, but Cali did beat us 3-0 in a Highland Derby on that same day. So maybe it was not quite the same celebrations as such based on the back of that. But no, it was at the end of the day, it was just a moment that, everyone we just couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it. The fact that, little old Ross County have managed to take a domestic trophy back north to Dingwall away from, again, one of the big teams in league, Hib well, in the country, Hibs. And beating Celtic along the way again as well was just, yeah, phenomenal.
So we did Inverness beat yous 3-0 and then you had an open top bus tour, or did it happen and then yous get beat 3-0?
No, so the bus tour was already planned, but it was planned for after the derby. But then Cali won 3-0 in Dingwall, and they still had the bus parade afterwards
Mate,
as well.
that
I
is,
know. It's some
oh,
laugh when you think about it now.
that's such heritage, by the way.
Brilliant,
How
isn't
have I
it?
never heard that? How have I never heard that before? It's amazing. And what was that? Because I mean, that must have been so kind of muted, after getting pumped off Inverness, but
It was a weird one. Certainly, I again, you're celebrating the success of what you've seen the week prior. But would there have been bigger celebrations? Had you even just drawn the game or picked up a 1-0 win or something like that in the derby? Yeah, probably. I think it was one where, again, you never like getting beaten by your kind of your local rival. Never mind if it's 3-0. But just Hi. It's some laugh when you think back at it now. It's just like, it's just typical time. It's typical Ross County. We always say there's the easy the way, the hard way, or the Ross County way, and that was probably the perfect example of that as well. So,
Because you see, I mean, I don't think you would get that now. I mean, you always
nah.
see nowadays, like even at the League Cup final this season, you've seen the kind of images leaked online
Yeah.
of the Aberdeen bus all set
Yeah.
up to go if they've won it, or the Rangers get a photo with the League Cup
Yeah.
thing leak. I don't want to take it too off piste here, John, but I've wanted to ask Ross a wee bit about this, and it's probably a good time.
I think we got.
On the rivalry with Inverness, I've never actually I've been up in the Highlands and I've been in Inverness and Dingwall and that, but I've never actually been up. I've never been away with the football to there, and I've certainly never been to a Highland derby. What's that rivalry like? Is it fierce? What's it like? Kinda, I mean, what's it like on match day? But what's it like in a day to day? Because, I mean. So, I mean, me being a Rangers fan, I can only really, I the way that I have, the rivalry with Celtic is I always feel is a bit different because, I work with Celtic fans. Some of my good friends are Celtic fans. All this, but I hate Celtic with every fibre of my being. But it's probably not quite like that. With Ireland. Derby, no, I mean, what's it like?
Well, it's a weird one because I think, from the outside looking in, there is always these kind of, jokes that, yeah, I don't want to say it's not a proper rivalry because, the players move between the two clubs so often. Like, if you could imagine that between, any other club, that has a rival, like even, Celtic Rangers is obviously the extreme example, but if you've got, players jumping between, Hibs and Hearts, as often as,
Dundee or
yeah,
Hibs Hearts, aye. Dundee or Dundee
exactly.
United, aye.
Exactly. That wouldn't happen as frequently. I think it's a case of, being up here when a player is settled up here. Obviously, it's only Ross County or Caley Thistle that are the kind of the two closest options. It's obviously a bit different being in the Central Belt where you've got so many different clubs and options around you. I think the perfect example of that might be like say a guy like Billy Mackay. He's spent up like the vast majority of his career up here in the Highlands between the two teams. And when they're settled up here, if he's maybe not looked at as good enough for the Premiership side, he might go to the Championship side or vice versa. If someone's willing to make a step up, that might make sense as well. In terms of the actual rivalry between us, it's a weird one. I would describe it as because the best years both clubs had is when they were both in the top flight pushing each other. I think that's almost a huge necessity to football up here to push the two clubs on for major success. As I said, each team holding out one of the major domestic trophies in Scottish football at the same time is a phenomenal achievement. Since things have kind of gone a little bit wrong over the bridge, it's one that you always want to take a little bit of pleasure in your rivals not doing very well because you have that kind of banter between, your mates that are Caley Thistle fans, or even when we weren't doing very well, I think a few Caley fans were maybe getting a little bit optimistic in the like at halftime in the second leg of the playoff, getting ready to fire a few texts and tweets out and stuff like that. And there was actually some of that shown that I think quickly got deleted. But it's almost one of those ones where there hasn't been a Highland derby that's been in front of fans for a number of years now. It's quite strange. The only one that's kind of taken place between the first team was the Scottish Cup match during COVID, which Caley won 3-1. It actually looked like we were maybe going to get one of sorts this season, in the North of Scotland Cup, which is the competition that's kind of both sides compete in with some of the Highland League teams based in the north of Scotland for a trophy there. But County got to the final, but Caley were beaten on penalties by Nairn County. It was just the two under 21s, under 18 teams with some of the first team players that weren't getting matched, just kind of scattered amongst them. So it looked like we were going to get something there, but again, we didn't. It will be very interesting to see when there is the next Highland Derby, how it's kind of amplified because of the time that there's not been one. I think we've kind of got so used to playing each other for, you know, a number of years. It maybe just it didn't become another game. Obviously, you're always wanting to win your derbies. I'll be honest, I hate the derbies. I just get a nervous wreck because of all the just the implications on it and stuff like that. You always want to beat them, but like it was just yeah, it was one of those ones where I don't get me wrong, I don't like Cali Thistle, but it's one of those ones where to me you kind of enjoy them not doing well, but the fact that then they're sitting second bottom of the championship, potentially, you know, in a relegation battle to go down to League One, it's almost like you kind of pity them in a way. It kind of feels like that. There's maybe not the kind of same, as you said, Josh, like that kind of hatred and venom as such at that. It's almost like, I don't want to say like a bit of amusement right now, the way that things are going, but you know, yeah, it's an interesting one. It's kind of, it is a really difficult one to describe. I think, you know, different generations will describe it as different ways. You know, obviously social media may be heightening things between some younger fans and stuff like that, between them, and they've not kind of seen the Highland Derbies. But you know, that season that we spent in the championship a few years ago, we played Cali, I think it was six times that year. You know, four in the league and then twice in the Scottish Cup with the replay. And then so to go from that to then, you know, like some no derbies then for like the next few years, obviously apart from that one during COVID, it's quite strange as well. So, you know, we've seen some like some of the emotion and the scenes of some derbies that get played after a number of years, and you know how heightened they can be and emotional and things like that. I'll be fascinated to see what it's like and how it goes. But there is a local rivalry there. There's maybe another sense that. Obviously, we are very lucky as Ross County fans to have Roy McGregor at our club. You know, that if it wasn't for Roy, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now. I think it is absolutely safe to admit that. There is a feeling amongst a lot of the support that Cali have had, a lot of hand-me-outs over the years from different people, you know, perhaps even some people point like the local council and stuff like that for different things. I think there's a big issue just now with Cali and a battery farm proposal with the Highland Council, and it's all getting very sour there. So I think there's a bit of a friction where, you know, all this was supported. They supported the club, they've been fully like backing them, whereas with ourselves, because we've obviously had Roy, so we've not quite had that, but there's not been the same hand-me-outs towards Ross County as there has been there. So there is a little bit of kind of maybe a bit of ill feeling amongst, I would say it's definitely the older generation of supporters, maybe in that sense, that kind of see things like that maybe kind of a lot of people from the outside don't quite see. So,
Do you think they see themselves as a bit? I know this is strange to ask, but because you're in the top flight, they're not. Do you think they see themselves as a bigger Highland team? Because they won the Scottish Cup.
yeah, I think they do. I think they do. I think every fan base is, well, County fans would argue that Ross County are the bigger club, but Cali would obviously argue that they're the bigger club. And you look at the achievements that they've had, obviously winning the Scottish Cup, they kind of qualified for Europe that one season as well. Played a couple of, well, the one round in the qualifiers there. So, you know, there is they've had success. Like, can't deny that. I think it's just how badly things have gone wrong for them and how poorly they've been mismanaged off the park. I think maybe people view them as maybe a bit bigger than in terms of what they actually are, just because of, again, it's a generational thing. Maybe that, you know, if you've spent the majority of years watching the Scottish top flight growing up, you've kind of seen Cali Thistle there, but now that they're not, you then become accustomed to thinking, oh well, they were a big club, they spent so many years in the top flight when I was growing up. And it's, you know, perhaps the same with like clubs like Dunfermline and Falkirk and these kind of sides, that people are used to seeing them at the top end of Scottish football, whereas a lot of people now have seen them, you know, more recently the bottom end of the Championship or League One kind of scrapping away and things like that. So maybe they don't have the same perception of them, for example, as they would do, you know, some other teams. So yeah, it's certainly a debate. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got my Ross County tinted glasses on. I know which side of the argument I'm going to stand on.
Aye,
But
definitely.
yeah.
Right, so we've spoken before, obviously, about the playoff final last year, right? So I know what your memories are like for that, and many of the listeners as well. So aside from that, aside from obviously winning the League Cup final, what's your other favourite memories from watching Ross County?
I think there's certainly a few that kind of like jump out. That season where we got into the top six and a couple of years ago, winning 1-0 at Pittodrie. Sorry, John.
That's all right, yeah.
But just the it felt like there was a real connection with the fans and the players in the park at that point, you know, coming out of COVID and whatnot. You know, the run that we went on after, you know, not winning our first anything in our first 10 league matches to then, you know, go to Dundee and win 5-0 at Dens. I mean, I was one of the I was one of the lucky ones that actually travelled to Dens that night. It's a funny story because I was at a family gathering up in Ullapo, and I thought to myself, I was like, oh, I'll drive down the road, stay in my flat in Inverness, and then go back up to Ullapo the next day. And it turns out I didn't realise at the time, but I had my MOT a few days later, and I had a broken track rod that I drove all the way down from Ullapo to Dundee and back up again in this dodgy car, and it was pouring with rain. And I don't know how many times I thought to myself, just turn back. What are you doing? We've not won the first 10 matches. Like, just, you know, that was off the back of we just lost in the last minute to Livingston as well. And it was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Best decision I've ever made, just to carry on down there, because in that main stand corner at Dundee, it was the perfect angle of Hungbo's free kick, that one goal this season that year from, I don't know how, must have been like 35 yards out. And it was one of those ones I remember watching it and thinking, you know, just cross it in the box, just cross it in. And you can see the way he was lining up for it. And he's like, he's shooting here. I was like, we're 2-0 up. We've not won a game. Just play it safe, put it in the box. But then he goes and puts in the top corner like that. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I think there was, I want to say there was maybe 60 fans that maybe traveled down at that point to the game. So for all of us that were there, you know, it's memories like that we won't forget. Obviously, the game at, as I mentioned, the game at Pittodrie, where you get the top six, the celebrations afterwards and stuff like that. That's, you know, they're memories that will always stay as well. A few years further back, you know, there's the Jamie Lindsay equaliser against Dundee United in the Championship. We were right behind the goal in the JLN that day, and it felt like if Dundee United won that, that was going to be a real turning point in the title race that season. Jamie popped up with a 94th minute equaliser to kind of unofficially win us the league. That was unbelievable. That's probably the second biggest celebration I've seen in the JLN in my time sat in there. The first obviously being the playoff final and everything that happened there. But, you know, it was such a big goal like that. It was brilliant. A week later we were down at Ayr, and Brian Graham hat trick as well on a Friday night, which was great as well. That was kind of, again, an unofficial league winner that we only had to just, I think, get a point or just not lose our next game and we would have won the league again. Just, you know, memories like that when you're going up and down the road like so often, to anywhere in the country, to see your team do something like that was unbelievable. You know, the success that we've had over the years. I mean, I remember being there, the Challenge Cup win, and I think it was 2006, 2007. You know, Ross County's first like major silverware since coming into the Scottish leagues as well. McDermott Park, that was incredible. A couple of wins there. I think we've won the Challenge Cup 3 times now, I want to say.
Yeah, that is nice.
So yeah, there's all these kinds of different memories from different scenarios. Obviously Derby wins as well, kind of put themselves up there too. Likes of Boyce when he scored a hat trick at Cali Park, was a particular favourite as well. And just yeah. There's so many. I could be sat here for the next hour kind of rattling off so many, but yeah, they're definitely ones that pop into my head for sure.
Do you want to go in there, Josh?
I mean, I suppose, what was the other thing I was going to ask you? I mean, I don't want you to answer Derek Adams again, but answer him if you want. I mean, who would you say your favourite manager has been in your time supporting County?
It's one of these ones where I'm basing it off his two previous spells, and you kind of answered that there. It kind of has to be Derek based on those two, his first two spells in charge of the club because of, where we were at the moment he kind of took over, to what he achieved in the first spell, to then when he went to go and join Hibs as assistant manager, and then what we kind of we then really struggled after he left for those 6 or 7 months. So then he came back into the summer and he just kind of picked up when he left off, to then go and achieve what he did. I think that's why there's such a disappointment from my point of view and so many others that this third spell didn't work out, because, it's the feeling of nostalgia. It's what you've kind of grown up seeing all this success and you're hoping to kind of repeat the same, County are a different animal nowadays compared to the one that Derek took over, as an established top flight side. You'd imagine he's got, had a better net to cast in terms of players than he would have done, during those days and whatnot. He could use experience. I think that's why, yeah, it's tough to see how the third spell went, but I can't not say the first two spells under Derek just because of what he achieved.
That's
and
fair.
then and then flip question, who's been the worst manager that he's had and the time that you supported them?
Good question. I think statistically I'd have to say Willie McStay, because McStay came in after Derek left for Hibs. He was in charge for 9 matches, didn't win any of them, and again that was the side that the previous season had got to the Scottish Cup final, and it was such a good core of players, so to not get a tune out of them seems, looking back on it just seems so strange. So yeah, I'd probably say in my time supporting them, I'd probably have to say Willie McStay. I think, yeah.
Okay, I'm interested to know, like we talked about, the cup being the pinnacle, right? That being your top. So say that was like at 100%.
Yeah.
Where is that Premiership playoff final? What percent is that in comparison? Because on the neutral and for everyone else watching, well, apart from Partick Thistle fans, it was tremendous scenes.
Yeah. Honestly, from my point of view, I would have it joint up there, if not maybe just slightly lower. I think the reason why I would have it up there like so high is because you're kind of old enough to realize kind of what you're seeing, whereas maybe kind of growing up, as a teenager and stuff like that, you don't actually kind of realize the impact that League Cup win had at that moment in time. Whereas then when you're kind of your mid to late 20s, you're seeing just an absolute miracle happen on that park in the last 20 minutes in the second leg, and then everything that happened afterwards. It is just like it is just a total pinch me moment, and all the celebrations afterwards, fans being on the pitch celebrating with the players, just everything, with it being in front of the jail end as well. I know the penalty shootout in front of the jail end maybe caused a bit of debate amongst a lot of people at the time as well. Won't go into that, but again, in your home stadium to do something like that, it's one of these moments where it's incredible. I mean, being stood in the jail end, kind of growing up, a ball boy, then kind of going back in there again as well. It's we've seen so much over the years, but that just in front of us, and just it was just the emotional roller coaster of it as well. It's like you think you're down, you think you then have a chance, you then go into extra time, you then think you're going to win the penalty shootout as well with Keith Watson stepping up and he puts over the bar, and you're then thinking that's our chance gone, and just like I've never experienced anything like that. And I always compare it to, like, there are, very big football miracles out there. I always talk about like the World Cup final, the way that like Messi won it, or like the Aguero Man City goal that won them the league against QPR and stuff like that. Like, they are big football moments, but to Ross County fans, this is our big football moment. Like, this is a miracle that none of us expected to happen in that moment in time. That we all, you know, we'll sit there as neutrals in these kind of bigger games like the World Cup final thing. Bloody hell, what would it be like to be there to experience that, to be involved in that? Whereas then, you know, in the J line that day, that was just unbelievable.
Yeah, you think about it as well. Like, if you had gone down, you look at your near neighbours and look at other teams that have gone down and then struggled to go back up to the Premier.
But that's exactly it. Like I think that was my big fear, is that the championship now is a totally different league than it was when we went down, what, 5 6 years ago. You know, even with like a Dundee United and like a part of Thistle, Falkirk, Dunfermline, all those sides are there right now. But back in the time that County were there, they weren't the same animal. You know, that you look at the Falkirks and Dunfermlines, they were struggling that season, whereas, you know, Falkirk look like they're going to come back up from League One this season and probably do quite well in the Championship next season. You know, Dunfermline are back up there, look like they've kind of got their kind of club in order. Park Thistle, I mean, we saw what Park did to us just back in January. Raith Rovers invested a lot of money, look to be really kicking on. It is so competitive. Whereas, you know, when we went down, you know, I don't want to say we were the big fish in a small pond, because in the grand scheme of things, there were bigger clubs in the championship at that moment in time than us. But, you know, in terms of the budget that we could have gone into the league with at that moment in time, I don't think there was that many that could compete. Whereas now, you would look at it and think there certainly would be.
Aye, like we obviously did the Championship podcast last week, and we're talking about how Dunfermline fan Adam, he was like not very happy, obviously, with how things were going. We are going to send him like all it needs is like 2-3 results, and that's you back in the mix. Like, you're looking not at the relegation playoff, you're actually looking at potentially the promotion playoffs.
Yeah,
So that's a crazy, crazy league.
but that's exactly it. That's ex like the winning a part of Thistle on Friday night, and then they're up in Inverness tomorrow night. You know, if they then pick up, you know, 6 points from that, all of a sudden, you know, from being second bottom and kind of, you know, a little bit worried, again, you're looking up the way. And it's the same in the Premiership as well. Like we're sat here with obviously 3 points from Saturday. We play St Mirren on Tuesday night. That, you know, if we get points from that, all of a sudden, you know, we've leapfrogged St Johnstone. We're 2 points behind Motherwell and Aberdeen, and all of a sudden you put a bit of a distance between yourself and automatic relegation. You can start to potentially build, and that's all it takes, just in any league, is a couple of wins just to build a bit of momentum, build confidence, build a bit of support from the fan base as well, and you can take it from there.
Yeah, definitely. Josh, have you any questions before we move on to the showstoppers?
What do you think of your current keeper? I'm mindful of the little of I mean of this, you know, I've not watched County a lot this season, only when they played Rangers, and obviously Sports Scene. When we played you and beat you 3-1 a couple of weeks ago there, I mean, it was an extraordinary game. I mean, you know, it should have been about 10-10 or 15-0. The goalie, I really don't know what to make of the goalie. I felt like he was making some absolutely incredible saves, and then he would do something so basic, like coming for a corner, and he would make an absolute ass of it. And if I was a county keeper, you know, like, I don't know, maybe he'd like drop a ball or bounce on it, wouldn't he catch something perfectly, or he would palm it out into a dangerous area. But then, you know, some of the saves he was making were absolutely outstanding. What do you think of the goalie? He's on loan from Fulham, isn't he?
Fulham, it is. George Wickens is a really interesting one. So I think kind of going into the transfer window, it felt like we were maybe a little bit light kind of in our goalkeeping department, just because Ross Laidlaw's been phenomenal for the club. I mean, again, the playoff finals an example of you know how key he was in both legs. You know that the first leg down at Fir Hill, I mean, he was making save after save even there as well. Like when we were down to 10 men, it was a struggle. And then this season he hadn't done anything wrong, and it was a case of, if he picked up an injury, then we would have been in trouble. And we had Ross Munro there, and Ross is a young keeper as well. He kind of had a couple of loan spells a few seasons ago and things like that. But again, he hadn't had like that much first team game time, so it was a case of, if you were then in trouble and you had to go to a Celtic Park or an Ibrox with, you know, your kind of backup keeper in there, you would want someone that you could fully rely on. And I'm sure we could have done that with Ross, but there was maybe just moments in his game that he kind of needed to get game time to develop, basically. So Derek, I think it was his first signing. He brought in George and started the cup game against Partick. And you know, I think a few people are maybe a bit overly critical of him, because when you lose 3-0 to a side in a division below you, and he's made a change to the keeper, then he maybe kind of got a little bit of undue blame, but he couldn't do anything about the goals. Like, he wasn't at fault for any of them. But again, it's normal in the cup to rotate your keeper. But then when we went to Celtic Park the following week, I think we all expected Laidlaw to be back in. But Wiccan started, and we were kind of all a little bit taken aback by that. Not because he's, you know, not a good keeper, but just like how settled Ross was as the number one. To go to Celtic Park and save two penalties, I mean, I don't think you need to do much more than that to kind of really kind of build faith amongst kind of like the fans. I think, you know, he made a number of really good saves down there as well, kind of kept us in the game. But, you know, the penalties are obviously the ones that stand out. The game at Ibrox, Josh, as you say, is such a bizarre one, because I wasn't there that night. We watched it at home. And very early on, my dad said to me after about 5-10 minutes, we looked at the stats, and he said, "Bloody hell, they're on course for like 40 shots on goal here." And we were thinking, no, surely not. Like, I know we're getting a bit of a, you know, a bit of a battering here, but no, it can't be like that. First half, he made some good saves. I think he is a really good shot stopper. Again, as you said, there was moments where he was coming out for crosses and it wasn't entirely convincing. I think maybe on another day, there was a couple where like Dester's backed into him, and it depends who the referee is. Do they view that then as a foul because goalkeepers are so protected? Maybe is that why he's then tried to, not to make a meal of it as such, but is that maybe what he's expecting off the back of it? I don't know. But, you know, as you said, some of the saves he's making, like the one from Cantwell in the second half where it's going in the bottom corner, he's just got his fingertip to touch around the post. It was phenomenal. And you know, to break the record for the most amount of saves since Opta have been gathering the data again is just it's mental. And you know, he kept us in the game. Like, we've played against Rangers and they've played far worse against us and put in 4 and 5 past us on a number of occasions, whereas I thought, you know, that was the best Rangers side I'd seen in a long time. We're only coming away with a kind of a two-goal defeat, call it, you know? And you're looking at it thinking, you're kind of getting away with one there a wee bit. But again, you know, I think Wickens is a guy that's definitely got a bright future. I think, you know, as a natural shot stopper, you know, you can see he's got really good qualities there. Again, it's maybe just with game time that he just kind of refines things like his, you know, judgment coming for crosses and stuff. It's one of these ones where I'm actually really surprised that there was no reports in the media, regardless of if there was any truth in them, that either a Celtic or a Rangers or one of the bigger Scottish Premiership teams was actually interested in him off the back of either the game at Celtic Park or the game at Ibrox, just as a, you know, if they are looking for a goalkeeper for the future, for example. I guess, you know, the big example right now is Joe Hart retiring. And Wickens actually said after this Celtic game that, you know, Joe Hart was a big inspiration from growing up as a young keeper. But I think they also share the same agency. Now, I'm not saying for, you know, any minute that Wickens would walk into Celtic and be a number one or whatnot. But if you were looking for a goalkeeper to develop that's got a really solid platform at the moment, you know, you can't really deny that he's doing that. And, you know, in terms of what happens now, we've got two very, very good goalkeepers. I think Laidlaw's carrying a bit of an injury just now because he wasn't in the squad on Saturday. So I think they've kind of been managing that, which again is maybe why that they decided to bring Wickens in if it's been one that they've had kind of on the books for a while. But yeah, I think he's definitely got a good career ahead of him. It's just, yeah, he's still young. We all know the age that keepers can play to when they come into their best years. So yeah, I think it'll be a really good keeper for years to come.
Right, we've prepared you for this one. The showstopper we like to do, we've got a fan special on. So, Ross County, best 11 of your lifetime, who are you picking?
Oh, right. Goalkeeper, I am going with Scott Fox. I think Scott Fox was a brilliant servant at the club. Again, part of a really successful county side as well. Even when we went down as well, that he played a big part in that championship winning season with a number of saves. I remember some of the Highland derbies we played, and it felt like, it felt like he had clean form behind the goal, because there was at times that Cali were going clean through or creating chance after chance. There was one derby at New Year that he was just making save after save, and we snatched the win at the end. And it's one of those ones where, again, a goalkeeper wins you so many points a season, and that's what he did. I think Scott's maybe a bit harshly remembered, obviously, for the big mistake against Rangers with the Morelos and the kind of a bit of delaying on the ball. But apart from that, I think every goalkeeper's made mistakes, maybe not as bad as that one, but over the whole course of his county career, he was good.
Defensively, what would you be? A three at the back, four at the back, five at the back? What would you go?
I'll go four at the back. Four at the back.
Who's your right back?
Right back would be Marcus Fraser. Marcus was, again, such a brilliant servant at the club as well. Part of that League Cup winning side, I achieved a top six finish for the club. And again, part of the side that got us back up into the Premiership as well. Club captain, obviously left us at the end of the season that was, prematurely cut short. But, in terms of a right back, he was kind of everything he wanted. He kind of, really reliable, good going forward, good defensively. And yeah, it's certainly the when someone asked me, who's the best right back you've seen over the recent years, I would say him. I think there's the only one that I would maybe come close to choosing, but there's certainly a bit of a sour feeling towards him from some of the county fans based on what happened afterwards, was Harry Clark. That first 6 months of Harry Clark was just, you could see he was at a different level of player. But then obviously his loan spell got cut short, then got loaned to Hibs, and to obviously he was just trying to build a bit of a relationship with between him and the Hibs fans, in terms of that he's come to a bigger club, and he's come here to play top six football and stuff like that. And no doubt Hibs are a bigger club, not denying that, but the whole top six football thing was a bit of a felt like a bit of a jibe towards us. But then it was quite ironic that when it came to the split, County got into the top six and Hibs didn't, but had we kept Harry for an entire season, like the quality that he showed was brilliant. But just based on like longevity and so much loyalty to the club and what he did, it has to be Marcus.
Who's your centre backs?
First centre back is Scott Boyd, again, just because of that success that he had in that kind of that team under Derek's first two spells, and then latterly as well in the Premiership when Derek left. Guy that's adored amongst county fans, again, nicknamed Ginger Pele for a good reason as well. The goal against Hibs, he's done so much. He was so consistent, literally being with us through right the way through the journey through the leagues. So he was my first one. The second one I have is Andrew Davis.
Captain of
Davis,
the top.
Davis was the best defender in the air that I've seen in Dingwall. Like it was incredible. It was just, you could see he had played or come through at Middlesbrough and stuff like that, and played some like English Premier League football. Like he just attacked everything, and it was a shame that he had such injury problems that started to kind of catch up with him in his second season. But in that first season with that League Cup win and the top six and stuff like that, it's tough to think of a defender that I've seen in Dingwall like him. It was just it's difficult to describe, but it was just a colossus at the back.
Right, who's left back? Who's completing the defence then?
Left back was a tricky one. I think for me, it would be throwing it back to his two spells that were quite brief, but that first spell was so memorable, was Evangelos Economou. So Economou signed for us in our first season in the top flight, just in that winter break. He's a Greek left back, and no one had any idea what to expect from him. But he was absolutely brilliant. He was so skillful for a left back. He was big. He was strong. He could play. He could, it was really dangerous going forward. But his technical ability was unbelievable. And like Derek had this ability that he managed to pluck these signings kind of out of nowhere. That he looked to Europe and brought some of these foreign players in, and economy was just like the perfect example of it. And he's this guy that's like a cult hero amongst so many County fans. So
I can't remember if I can remember him. Doesn't
he
ring a
had
bell just now.
Two spells. So he had that first 6 months, and then he left in the summer, but then he kind of came back the following season again for 6 months, and then moved on again.
Right, okay. Right, what were you going midfield? Is that a three or a four or five? What are you?
I'm gonna go a four.
Okay.
I'm gonna go a four, and I think it's a weird one, because I'll start on the left hand side, because that's definitely the easiest. It's got to be Michael Gardine again, just because, like I said, club record appearance holder, club record goal scorer, everything that he's done through the club, throughout the years, just has to be him, has to be him. Can't argue against that. Other midfield spot, I would say Jackson Irvine.
Yeah.
The crew he's gone on to have, like watch him at the World Cup and stuff like that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that, because you remember seeing him in Dingwall and the success that he'd been a part of. It's just a different animal in the middle of the park. Just he had such a great engine in there, could go box to box, good technical ability as well. The man of the match performance in the League Cup final against Hibs, that again is it's performances like that put you into a club's history books, and he did that 100%. So I would
Seems a
say
very
he's
likable
there.
guy as well, Jack Sullivan.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you see a lot of the work that he does off the pitch and stuff like that as well, and you just admire him as a person, not just like a footballer as well. So he's definitely up there. The other central midfielder I am going to go for is it's a tricky one, because there are so many good central midfielders that we had, like Paul Lawson, Stuart Kettlewell, these kind of guys. I'm gonna go for Richard Britton in the middle of the park. In that after he signed his pre-contract with St Johnstone in that first top flight season, he kind of got moved in field into the centre of the park. So when we signed Ivan Sproule, it kind of gave us a bit of a different dimension. And I think there's always questions of players when they sign pre-contracts as to how they're going to commit for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But Rich's character was, you could never doubt him for a second. He really stepped up that second half of the season. Some of the goals he scored, their importance. I mean, that first game at Paisley, that free kick that he scored, and the big moments, the big moments for the club, like scoring our first goal in the top flight, to scoring our first goal that wins us a game as well. Like all these kind of different things that, over the years, just a guy that you would want as your captain in a team. So yeah, I'd have him in the middle of the park. On the right hand side of midfield, I've gone with Josh Mullen.
Okay.
Josh's stats in the Championship season were just unbelievable. It was the best. It's the best example of a player when they've got their confidence going, when they get off to a good start in the season, you just can't stop them. I mean, it just felt like he was, popping up, with big moment after big moment in that season, and we relied on him so much. I think the Challenge Cup final against Konnersky Nomads is a good example of that. We're 1-0 down when he comes onto the park, and he literally single-handedly changes the game. He scores the two goals to put us ahead, and we win the game 3-1. And you could have a goal a season competition based on a number of his goals from that season. There was one he scored against Dunfermline where, he's put one right in the top corner from like the opposite corner of the box. A couple of goals against Ayr that he scored as well that were phenomenal. So yeah, and then he obviously made an impact the following season for us as well. And again, a really nice guy as well. Spoke to him on the podcast as well. So no, 100%. I would definitely put Josh in there.
Okay, and who's your front two then?
So front two, the first one I would go with is Liam Boyce. I have to go Boycey. I think from when he signed, I think we could all see he had potential. I think, look at his goal scoring record over in Northern Ireland, and he had the move to Germany that didn't quite work and went back and stuff like that. And it was certainly one you remember getting a little bit excited about, thinking, oh well, you know, you always look at when a player signs for your club, you know, what's the goals record like? And you're kind of taking a little bit back, thinking, all right, okay, this guy's you can't doubt him. It just kind of make the step up to the top flight. And he struggled a wee bit initially. I think it was just obviously the change of manager, because Derek signed him and then Jim McIntyre came in, and you know, Boyce was still getting up to speed with like full-time football. But you know, once he got going, it was just phenomenal. And he still is. It's a shame that he has had the injury issues that he has, you know, over the last like few seasons and stuff like that, even down at like Burton and you know at Hearts as well, most recently, because he's so gifted technically. He's just such a good player. And the amount of goals that he scored for us to, you know, to finish as the league's top goal scorer in the top flight, ahead of players that are playing for like Celtic and stuff like that, ahead of like Moussa Dembélé and these kind of guys that, you know, it's a Ross County striker that's picked up the Golden Boot, is just, you know, is phenomenal as well.
It doesn't happen often anyone outside the top two
I
finishing
know.
top four.
I
So
know.
who partners him?
This is the one where it's quite tricky, because there's a lot of kind of good players that have played there, but they kind of all kind of have a kind of a similar argument. I think you look at what Ross Stewart's kind of gone on to do, had a great spell at Sunderland. He's obviously struggling with an injury at Southampton and stuff like that, but he's earned the club a lot of money just based on, you know, the move down south, and then obviously the sell-on fees that we had, Scotland caps as well. We can't deny that. Brian Graham, I really like Brian Graham when he was at the club. You know, he's obviously gone on to score a lot of goals for Partick Thistle as well. I think he's another great player. Billy Mackay as well. The one that sticks out with me, and I think it's the kind of nostalgia talking as well, is Colin McMenamin.
Okay.
Because of that first division winning season, how good he was up front was just it was just phenomenal. Like I look back to that season with just, you know, such fond memories of being in the JLN there, and how many big goals that Colin scored. I think one of the biggest was, you know, in that unbeaten run, we went away to Falkirk just between Christmas and New Year, and we were 1-0 down going in the 94th minute. And you know, with Falkirk being second in the league, they could probably close the gap, put a bit of pressure on you. But you know, Colin popped up with the equaliser in stoppage time, and all of a sudden, you know, your season then continues to build on that. He was just such a good penalty box striker that just had such success that season. It was a shame that it didn't work out for him in the top flight, but you know, in the time that I've seen him, I've got to go Colin. I think the only one that would maybe be in a bit of competition with him would have been Andy Barrowman for his kind of goal scoring record he had when we were in the second division, and then kind of came back to County latterly as well to play in the Championship or the first division at the time for us as well. But no, I think when someone asks me like your favourite strikers, the Colin has to be up there.
Nice one. Did you have fun making your team?
Did I? It was really enjoyable. It's always nice to do that. We did a bit of that for the podcast. It was we had the County Corner Hall of Fame was a starting 11, and it was a nice mixture as well, because again, I've got some recency bias where I've only kind of experienced kind of the players from, you know, the generation that I've grown up watching. Whereas, you know, the good thing is some of our listeners, and you know, Stephen that we have on the podcast as well, he's seen the journey right the way through the Highland League. So he's seen guys like Billy Ferris, and you know, guys like that that really kind of lit up that county team at that moment in time, that were, you know, that were phenomenal and are so highly thought of. So it's nice to have that balance there. But certainly from what I've seen, I have to go with him.
Nice one, right, Josh? Over to you.
Right, mate. Ross, this is Desert Island Dicks. This is a showstopper that we do, and to be fair, we need to outline what the hell the format of it is, John, because it seems to change every single time we'll talk about this before we do the
I
next pod,
remember
right?
them.
It seems to change every time we do it, right? But the format that we've got tonight is you're trapped on a desert island. You can take three albums, one book, and one film, and one portable DVD player with one DVD of a 90-minute replay of one game of football, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right. Yeah, aye. Now we've asked that one before, but then it faded out at Desert Island Dicks for some reason. But it was a great. That was the. I don't because I remember the first Desert Island Dicks, John, had that question in it. I can't remember who it was to,
Well, you
but
came up with the phrase Desert Island Dicks, I'm pretty sure. So
aye,
I don't know
aye,
how this
aye.
happened. But that might be the format that we stick by now.
Right, we'll fine tune it. Right, fine tune it. I think 3-1-1-1 is a bit of an awkward number, but we'll figure it out. Right, so right, three albums, one film, one book, and your one replay of any match. Go.
Replay of any match, I would say the semi-final against Celtic in 2010. I think that one would be right up there. Film. I would like to say, see, I like my Star Wars stuff. I like my Marvel MCU stuff, all that kind of stuff. A film I really liked growing up was Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. I don't know how many times I ended up dragging my folks along
Mate,
to the cinema to see that.
great shout. Great shout, right? That is what I've forgotten. One of the best Star Wars films that nobody ever acknowledges enough.
Yeah,
It is. It's
it's
because it
one.
brings it, the old and the new together. Like,
Exactly. It's one that's kind of aged like a fine wine as well. Like
yeah.
it was kind of panned at first, I remember, but as the time's kind of gone
It
on, it's
was.
kind of
It was. It was like panned at first, but see, like now, folk are looking back on it. Folk think like, "Aye, wow, that was a fucking class film." I pulled it all together. Attack of the Clones, not so great. I quite like it, but no, not so great. Phantom Menace, for me, I fucking love the Phantom Menace. Yeah, with you on Revenge of the Sith.
Nice. The music one is maybe where I might struggle a wee bit, if I'm honest, because I'm not a big album listener. I
What you
know
want now
some
52, now 53, and
Thriller
now 50.
happened. Maybe a bit of that. What I'll do is I will I'll give my I'll give our closest people in the County Corner a shout out. So my dad, I'll probably take an AC/DC album. I'm not sure exactly which one, but just an AC/DC album, just because I think of him. Sophie, my other half, as kind of much as it pains me to say it, she's a big Taylor Swift fan, so I don't know if it had to be a Taylor Swift album just to for that kind of stuff. But one thing that she she kind of pans me a wee bit for is the amount of Dua Lipa songs that I've got on my playlist. So I'll probably end up having like a Dua Lipa album on there again. Is that I don't know if we're quite close to forming a Dua Lipa Ross County Supporters Club, but
Is it video content, Ross, that you're watching? Is it video content you're watching for Dua Lipa as well as the music?
I know I honestly it's just the music, it's just the playlist on the way down. Like I don't know how many times she's kind of said to me, I don't think it's even that many songs that I've actually got on there. It's like I don't know if it's just my playlist isn't that big, but it's like maybe four or five songs, but it's when they kind of come on, they come on back to back. She's like, oh, here we go again. You know, it's like, all right, okay, right. So yeah, they're probably the three I would go for.
So we're going with a Taylor Swift album, a Dua Lipa album, and an AC/DC album.
Aye, when you
Decent,
say
decent. Now I can get right on board with the AC/DC album. We could have a podcast on that itself. But
The other two,
okay,
I get it. I know it sounds worse when you say it out loud
that'll
like
do.
that as well, but there's the reasoning. There's the reasoning.
Aye, and Aaron would love the Taylor Swift shout. What book are you much of a reader?
Any books I
Nuts,
read?
nuts, nuts magazine.
Don't know, actually. I don't know. Trying to think, what was the I'm not a bit I've never really been a big book reader. I remember like reading like the Hunger Game books when I was in school. That's maybe like honestly I think that's genuinely like the last novel that I ended up reading.
Any sports
But
books, like biographies, autobiographies, or any of that?
nah,
No, no.
I've tried. I can't get kind of hooked into them. I've never tried it as like an audiobook, for example, if I'm actually like, you know, doing it away or like listening to it as like a podcast, but actually just sitting down to go through it and stuff. I've never been one like that. I tried to do it as well, even like going away on holiday or anything like that. Like if you just sat beside a pool or something, but now I can just never get into it.
Yeah. I've got a bad habit of starting books and then not finishing them.
Aye.
About four or five books. Well,
Aye.
see, I can get into a book and then
Don't.
I blitz it, but
Yeah.
people for starting books and then just leaving them lying about. Like,
Yeah.
was it like from Margot Van Varson? Started reading
Don't
it.
worry about Ross. I've got Ross's first book. I've got Ross's first sports book covered, John.
Right, okay.
Are you aware of? I'm mindful that obviously up in the Highlands, Ross. Are you aware of the story of Darvel FC?
I don't know if I've heard of them. It rings a
So
bell, but
I'm writing a book. It's got to be called Lies, Pies, and Chicken Thighs. Darvel FC 2018 to 2024: The Inside Story of Scottish Football's Breaking Bad. Now, I this is a story of this is a story of lies. This is a story of I'm gonna get on like Father Ted here in the Christmas special, and now we move on to liars. Listen, just watch out for Watson's
okay.
bookshelves in Inverness, right?
Okay,
Watch out for this.
nice.
That'll be a first sports book. Take that in your
Nice.
desert.
That sounds good. If that comes about, I'll take that 100%. I've just never, honestly, just never been a big book reader or anything. Even like a just a general like magazine and stuff. I used to get like 442 or something like that when I was younger. But again, it's just like a, I guess it's just a change of the times, isn't it? Just there's so much stuff. There's if it's on like social media or something like that, or like you've got video content. It's just something I've never really done. So I can survive. Can survive without the book. I'll take the game and a couple of dodgy albums and the AC/DC as well. That's fine.
You can just
And
watch
the
that
Star Wars.
constantly and Star Wars with any of
Aye.
the stuff to be sorted.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can't tell Bleasdale earlier that you're no fan of books because obviously Bleasdale's got his book coming up later in the
Of
year.
course. Yeah, of
So,
course.
right, okay. Other wee quick fire questions. Favourite drink?
I do like a Fanta Pineapple or an Iron Brew 1901. It's probably the two I would go for.
Okay. Death row meal, three-courser. And who would you be sharing the death row meal with, three guests?
Starter, I would say I'll give a bit of a shout out to a local restaurant here. There's a Chinese in Inverness called Hu Hu Mei. I hope I've kind of pronounced that right. If anyone's in Inverness, try it because it is so good. The bao buns there that they do as a starter is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So I would definitely have, I would have them as a main course. I would go probably just I would have a pizza. I don't know what kind of pizza. Probably a cheese feast pizza and then dessert, a sticky toffee pudding. Three guests, I don't know. Just trying to think of shows. I like watching. I'm looking forward to the Formula One coming back at the weekend. I quite like Lando Norris. I think Lando Norris is quite funny, so probably choose him as
Okay.
one. Second one, second choice would be, I think it'd be really interesting, like talking about like the kind of film stuff, like the Star Wars or kind of Marvel stuff. I think it'd be quite interesting to sit down with like, I don't know, like a George Lucas or a Kevin Feige, just like the thought process behind all of that and like how difficult it is to kind of like how they've just built what they have, you know. I'll give it to the two of them because I guess that's probably that fills the three, doesn't it? I can't think of a
Aye,
third.
aye, aye, that's cool. Fair
I'll
enough.
probably kick myself afterwards thinking, oh, I should have said him, but no, I can't. I'll think of someone maybe.
Aye, don't worry. No, that's all good. Josh, that is, I think.
Think so, mate.
Aye, right, aye, that was
Who's going to win the league? Who's going to finish third? And who is going to get relegated and who's going to finish 11th?
So I'm going to base the predictions of the top of the league based on the different performances I've seen against County over the past couple of weeks. I think it's right now it looks like Rangers are it's theirs to lose. I think Rangers have finished top just based on the performance what I've seen, because the Celtic team that we played at Celtic Park just after the winter break didn't even look that great either, and they've obviously kind of been stuttering over the line the past couple of weeks. So I think it kind of looks like it's in their hands. Third place, I think it's Hearts. I think it's safely say that's kind of been wrapped up. Bottom of the table, I think it's probably quite easy to say Livingston. I think they've shown fight. I think it's one of those ones, if you look at their next two games, if they pick up like 4 points in the next two games, I wouldn't be surprised that they got out of it. But right now I think it's the psychological blow of coming back to 2-2 on Saturday and then losing it so late on. I think that could be quite damning as well. So I would
Mental,
say
yeah.
them. Yeah. 11th, I would never say ourselves just because, I would like to try and be a bit more optimistic and positive on it. I think, I don't know, I just see there's some grumblings around about St Johnstone just now. The way that things are kind of going there, and even when they beat us in Dingwall a few weeks ago, they weren't great. They weren't great at all. And if they stay up, like no doubt Craig Levein's like really kind of really experienced, he kind of knows what he's doing. But it just if they kind of get into that rut, especially going into the split, and then teams around them start taking points off them, it could be quite easy to slip back into that playoff spot. So, yeah, my gut feeling, I would say St Johnstone.
Anyway, we're right with those two because they both struggle massively for goals. But as
Yeah.
we've said before, when you've been on generally Ross County, they've got some guys that can chip away with get a few goals.
Yeah,
If
exactly.
Brophy's back
Exactly.
in the team now as well, he can what he's capable of, saving money maybe a wee bit back in favour as well, might get some goals as well between now and the end of the season. And then you've got the creativity of Dander, so
I know, I know. And I think it was kind of boosting as well to see us get the 3 points on Saturday without Danda as well. He's kind of gone a wee bit off the boil since January. Don't know if it's been an injury or obviously we're talking about like pre-contracts and stuff like that, if that's
yeah.
maybe kind of playing on the mind and whatnot. But to we went with all three strikers on Saturday and they looked really well. The second goal, as I said, was a perfect example of it. And it's we've got firepower there. We're missing a lot of experience right now. Jack Baldwin's out injured, Scott Allardyce is out, Conor Randall's out, Will Nightingale, I think, is out for the season as well. So they're four like really experienced players that we could kind of do with thing in that kind of defensive area. So hopefully kind of going into the running, we've got them back, at least three of them back, that they'll kind of add a bit more stability kind of going into the split, where we can, when you're needing that experience to get you through the tough moments, then we can do it. And I think that's what was so positive about Saturday, is that, we were lacking that in certain areas, but we still kind of got ourselves over the line. So
I mean, a bit of character as well after you're thinking probably, up, gets back to 2-0, you're probably thinking, aye, right, we'll be happy with a point now. And then you
exactly,
get one,
exactly,
so all good.
exactly.
Right, okay, well, thanks, Ken Ross. Pleasure having you on as always. Nice to do these fan specials as well. We enjoy them.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I've really enjoyed it, and hopefully a few people have enjoyed the stories about Ross County and stuff like that as well. So
And always, just Josh.
Thanks, mate.
Happy football.
Happy football.